Hello, this is Amy Medling. I'm a certified health coach, and I'm the founder of PCOS Diva. And polycystic ovarian syndrome is one of the leading causes of infertility with women. And working with women with PCOS and PCOS Diva now for 4 years, so many women are coming to the site looking for help and information as they're trying to conceive and their fertility journey. And so tonight I'm so thrilled to have Dr. Mark Perlot with me. Dr. Perlot is one of the leading fertility docs here in the U.S. He is board certified in obstetrics and gynecology and is the medical director of Georgia Reproductive Specialists. Dr. Perlot has expertise in treating infertility, PCOS, recurrent pregnancy loss, fibroids, male fertility problems, and other reproductive health problems using the latest assisted reproductive technologies. And he's also served as principal investigator in numerous clinical research trials, including innovative IVF treatments. He serves on the advisory board of the Journal of Fertility and Sterility, and his research has been published in Human Reproduction, Fertility and Sterility, and other medical journals. He also co-authored the book Miracle Babies and Other Happy Endings for Couples with Fertility Problems. He's the creator of IVF.com and is a frequent speaker at community. He's been speaking at other PCOS events and other professional educational events. So without further ado, Dr. Perlot, welcome to our podcast.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
So I want to, I know when we were talking to prepare for the interview, we were talking a little bit about how women with PCOS often think that PCOS is an ovary issue, and you had this really great analogy, I thought it really did a wonderful job explaining insulin resistance and how PCOS is really an insulin resistance issue. And I was hoping that you can kind of open with that really wonderful analogy, and I think it helps women understand what can be kind of a complex topic.
So first, let me get there in a little bit of a roundabout way. I think one of the problems with PCOS is that for the longest time, there were a number of different ways to diagnose this or make the diagnosis, and the Europeans had one set of rules and the Americans have another. We've gotten together now and come up with the same set of diagnostic criteria, but because we were working on different things, the research studies were not necessarily transferable from one side of the ocean to the other. We now have gotten together and we've decided that there are three criteria: irregular periods, ovaries that look polycystic, and abnormal male hormone levels or signs of male hormone excess. If you have two of those three things, then you have PCOS. And looking at the research over many years, we found out that insulin resistance was probably the culprit for the majority of people who demonstrated the syndrome PCOS. And I'm going to give you two analogies of sorts. One is to understand insulin resistance, and the other is how we might approach it with treatment. And the first is a car engine. When you're looking at a car, you want to buy this car, the engine may be out of tune. So for a while, you can just feed the engine a little bit more gas and keep up with the rest of the traffic. So that's what your body is doing. We feed a little bit more insulin into the system, and we keep your blood sugars normal. Too many docs misunderstand and think, well, you have a normal blood sugar, and therefore you don't have insulin resistance, and that's just not true. So you get into this car, and you do a fasting early morning engine idle blood test, and you're going to find that your insulin and sugar are both very low and normal. It's like you get into that car, the engine's out of tune, but at idle it runs smoothly, and you say, I've got a good car here. But then you decide, let's take it out on the freeway, So you floor it, and that's when the engine gets rough. And you have to keep up with the other traffic. You've got to keep the engine floored. So you're feeding your body all this insulin to keep your blood sugars normal. And that insulin is causing pollution. It adversely affects the ovaries. Mm. It adversely affects your cholesterol. It causes you to gain weight. It causes blood pressure to go up. So all these things may be due to this relative increase in insulin. And then over the years, you lose the cells in the pancreas that make insulin, and you get into your 50s and 60s, and in some cases now we're seeing it even earlier, where people end up diabetic, where they're not able to keep track of all that extra demand for insulin. So we know, now let me go to the other analogy, we know that the muscles clear about 80% of the sugar from the bloodstream, carbohydrates. And that means more muscle, more stuff cleared. In fact, the calories that you need or determined how many calories you should have in a day depends upon that muscle. So insulin resistance, if it turns out that the muscles are already filled with fat and sugar, that's stored, the pantry is filled and you can't hide any more of the sugar that comes in, the insulin is going to go up and try to address that and bring it back down. And as I was learning about this, my son was living in China at that time and commuted through a subway station, and he showed me a video on YouTube of a Chinese subway station at rush hour. And at rush hour, all the people are coming down the stairways onto the platform like the carbohydrates come into your bloodstream. They don't do it the rest of the day, but they sure do at lunchtime or breakfast when you eat a lot of carbs. The train pulls into the station, and the train is already filled with carbohydrates and fat. So the people can't get in, and they have police officers or transit officers who start pushing people into these already filled subway cars. And as you watch this video, more and more people, more and more of these officers come and try to push people into the cars. So it's kind of like the body putting out more and more insulin, trying to push the sugar into your muscles that are already filled. Mm-hmm. Well, that analogy goes even further, and that's why it's so wonderful in that it gives you clues to how you might address it. In the subway station, if the traffic is too heavy, spread when you travel throughout the day. Work at home for a while. With PCOS, spread your calories out throughout the day. Don't have a bulk of carbohydrate calories all at one time. The second thing is that if people are traveling throughout the day, maybe the muscles won't be so filled. If you exercise, you are going to build more muscle. Strength training exercise will build muscle, so there will be more room to clear this from the platforms. And then your insulin levels will drop, your cholesterol drops, and you'll start losing weight if you build muscle. And then the other thing is, if the carbohydrates come down and these transit guys are pushing and pushing and pushing, trying to get the people into the car, after a while, some people just get up and walk away. And what's happening in the body is very high levels of insulin. The muscles are already filled. Your body is going to turn those carbohydrates into cholesterol and triglycerides, and you'll store them in your belly and in the liver and get fatty liver and fatty belly and what have you. I thanked my son and I said, you know, I finally understand this. It was just great.
Yeah, you know, it's so great to have like a visual like that for these complex kind of body processes. And I just kind of wrote this down when you said more muscle, more of the bad stuff, the sugar.